Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. Charles's first visit to Australia as monarch has come to an end, and it ended on a high note. There he was in Sydney, Australia's second biggest city, where he was rapturously received by the crowds of his loyal subjects. So remember, Charles Louis Philip Arthur George Mountbatten Windsor, he's King of Australia, just as King of the United Kingdom. So he's king of 14 other countries. He's not the king of most of the Commonwealth countries. The majority of the 56 are republics. So besides the UK, there is it 14 others that are Commonwealth realms have chosen to retain him as the head of state. And a quarter of a century ago, Australia held a referendum on whether they maintain or abolish the monarchy, and they voted against the abolishment of the monarchy. So, yeah, it was there for a few days. Now, he's not been to Australia for 10 years. He was supposed to go, then coronavirus happened, then his mother died, then the coronation. This delayed things by several years. He's been to Australia quite a few times, called a tour, not a visit. He's not a visitor because he belongs to Australia, as it were. So he's been going there since he was like 17. So when he finished Gordonston, he went to Geelong Grammar School just outside Melbourne, and then he was still a schoolboy, but somehow in charge of the house, blah, blah, blah. And they all had to cut wood to feed the stove or whatever it is. But in February this year, Buckingham Palace released the news that His Britannic Majesty was stricken with cancer. And it was touch and go whether he'd be well enough to go ahead with this tour. But he was. Now, they had to adapt the tour and begin later in the day and finish sooner in the evening. Sooner in the evening as well, because presumably fatigue gets to him. I don't know exactly what his treatment is. So then today was this National Centre of Indigenous Excellence, as in for Aborigines who are up to 4% of the population. They went to some social housing unit. They saw some scheme to promote literacy. They had a very Australian thing, a barbecue with some local people. He met two world-class oncologists. So he was there at a scheme where they're handing out food to people. They're also celebrating half a century of Sydney Opera House, surely the most iconic building in Australasia. So there's also a King's Foundation, a charity in his honour, which is to help the helping ecology. And he took up the cause of the environment back in the 70s, long before it was en vogue. Also, this charity is meant to teach people handicrafts. Okay, so that's gone really well. Now, he visited Canberra yesterday, where some racist imbecile subjected to him this tirade, accusing him of all sorts of things, making these baseless allegations, demanding this and that. So that was the height of bad manners. I mean, he's an honoured guest of Australia. He's there at the invitation of the Australian people, and you shouldn't treat people like that. So how disgraceful and despicable that is. I won't even say her name. So part of me thought, well, no, I shouldn't give her any more publicity. But okay, nobody watches my channel. It's not going to make any difference when it's been reported on channels that have hundreds of millions of viewers. So that was in Canberra. Now, some people are anti-monarchists. Nobody disputes their right to do so, to vocalise their opinions. But Australia has chosen to be a monarchy. It could be that one day it opts to be a republic. Fine. In which case, you know, monarchists can still say their thing. So this woman saying that there was genocide against Aborigines. Okay, so British people arrived there. The first fleet is the one who was 1788. And it's true that some British people killed Aborigines. Not sure that amounts to genocide. Could have been racist reasons, I think in some cases. I don't have any evidence that the United Kingdom government ordered it to be done. I mean, there are more Aborigines around alive now than there were then. But by providing people with health care, that was a genocide, was it? By providing people with more food, that was a genocide, was it? By providing people with housing, that wasn't genocide, was it? By providing people with clothing, that was not genocide either, was it? Or by providing them with education, that was not genocide. Then there's the Stolen Generations, which was simply an anti-racist policy of having the same child welfare for children regardless of race. So they have to wear clothes and they have to go to school. And I don't care because we're this ethnic group or culture. No, no, no. The children's needs come first, not the prejudices of the parents. Now, I'd be very reluctant to take children away from their parents. Sometimes it's the right thing to do. I think sometimes the wrong decision was made. Anyway, a previous Australian Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, apologised for that. But there we are. No one suggests suggest that we're going back to taking most Aboriginal children away from their parents. I don't know how many it was, actually. Right. And if this woman doesn't accept the benefits of the civilization the United Kingdom went, well, she could go back to the previous civilization, the Aborigines. She could go back to the Stone Age. Not being discourteous, it was a Stone Age. Did they even have metal tools? Might have been very sophisticated Aboriginal culture in many ways. It certainly wasn't technologically or scientifically advanced. Oh, yeah, and by the way, never speak a word of English again, you know, if you're so against colonialism. Oh, my God. It's just nauseating. And to say that all British people are somehow guilty of a crime, have to pay some assessment, someone on minimum wage in the UK has to pay to a billionaire in Australia? Or what? Or is it any white, so it really is racist? What about people who are black in the UK or Aboriginal descent? Do they have to pay or not? Or how much less? Anyway, it's just ludicrous and despicable. So anyway, the Prime Minister of Australia, Albert Albanese, he most cordially received His Majesty the King. Albanese is not keen on the monarchy, but he comported himself with the greatest of decorum. So I'm glad it ended so well. And of course, methinks it's Queen Camilla's first official tour of Australia. She might have been as a private citizen. Well, she married him way back in 2005. Maybe she'd been with him subsequently. So that's it. And this will obviously reset the debate whether Australia wishes to do away with the monarchy. And polls show there's a slight majority in favor of that. They said that 25 years ago. Obviously, the monarchists won. This doesn't guarantee they would win again. Should it be revisited? Is there any particular need? And just after Her Britannic Majesty died, Albert Albanese said it was in an apposite moment to do this. Methinks that wasn't out of sheer decency. It was also realised there's a bit of an upswell of sentimentality about the monarchy, and that's why that would redound to the disadvantage of his family. I remember meeting an Australian who was neutral on the issue, but saying after Princess Diana died, there was an upsurge of affection for the British monarchy. From Monica's perspective, it would have been good to cynically exploit that by holding the monarchy referendum immediately after the death of Diana. So His Gracious Majesty is en route to Samoa, where the Commonwealth heads of government is being held. Now, he's head of the Commonwealth. He's not head of state of most of the Commonwealth countries, the majority of which are republics, and they therefore are presided over by presidents. And that office, head of the Commonwealth, is not hereditary. His late mother held it, and some years before she died, the Commonwealth voted that when Elizabeth II died, her son would be the new head of the Commonwealth. And again, it's not guaranteed it will go to his son William in time. The Commonwealth could give it to somebody else. It's in the gift of all the Commonwealth nations. So he's off to Samoa to meet the heads of government of various nations for CHOGM, Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting. And the Prime Minister of Samoa will be the chairperson in office for the next 2 years until the next CHOGM. So it's a biannual event, and there's a Secretary General. A new Secretary General is about to be elected. Baroness Patricia Scotland is about to step down from 2 5-year terms. So there are three candidates, all of them Africans, one woman and two men. So we don't know who's going to be chosen. And increasingly, they're coming with this despicable racist rhetoric about how British people are guilty or racist or owe reparations to people who never suffered anything just because their ancestors and ancestresses centuries ago suffered something, and obviously completely overlooking all the manifold benefits that imperialism conferred upon them. Right. Thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.